Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody out there online. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. For those of you who are logging in, for those of you who are here, welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. We are a Bible-based church. Amen. Believe in the Word of God. And our pastor, amen, our pastor, Jonathan E. Ford, amen, amen. So for all of those who are out there watching, this is our communion Sunday. So I want you to make sure if you're at home that you take out your preparations, the things that you have set aside, amen, amen. And for everyone who is in the sanctuary, you should have been able to grab your items before you walked in, amen, amen. But before we start with the technical communion part, we're still going to have prayer, amen. Because it's always good to pray. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, hallelujah, for bringing us together this morning. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for being who you are. Thank you for being Lord. Thank you for being Savior. Thank you for being the one we can run to. Thank you for being the one we can call on. Thank you for being the one with all the authority. Thank you for being the one we can trust. Thank you for being the one that brings us through. Thank you for being the one that's always on your post. And thank you for letting us see who you are. Lord, we thank you for this day, which is your day. And we ask that this morning you would touch our hearts and our minds, that we would receive your anointed word, and that we would give that word to somebody else this week. That you would be glorified. That those who are seeking salvation would come and talk to us. And we could bring them unto you. That we could also go out and plant the seeds you wanted us to plant. For your name. Bless us right now with your word. And Lord, forgive us for when we have gone astray. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for when we come to you, you give us a warm embrace. Lord, from the day we were born, we would hug our parents and we would just feel safe because of their warm embrace. How much more with you, Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. To know that you are there to give us your warm embrace. Be with us throughout this service. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 We're going to start with our communion service. And what's going to happen first is I'm going to read our scripture. Then Sister Barbara Williams is going to come up and give us our confession of faith. Then Deacon Abrams is going to come up and pray over the sacraments. Amen. Amen. So in honor of God's word, if we could all stand, whether you're here in the sanctuary or at home, amen, let us honor God's word. Amen. Chapter 11, verses 18 through 34. For from the Lord, what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Amen. Amen. With that, I'm calling up our sister Barbara.
Good morning. Most merciful God,
most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you.
We confess that we have sinned against you.
In thought, word, and deed.
In thought, word, and deed.
By what we have done.
By what we have done.
And by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.
My to thee, no other help I know. If thou would withdraw thyself from me, tell me, Lord, please tell me, where would I go? Our Father and our God, thank you for keeping us and allowing us to see just one more first Sunday. It is the Sunday where we are set aside to remember your great sacrifice. For greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So as we ready our hearts and we ready our minds to observe your supper, we ask that you bless these sacraments. Bless them as they have been prepared. Lord, we ask that you search us, know our heart, and remove anything that would cause a separation between a holy God and ourselves. Forgive us so that we may partake in this communion in a worthy manner. In the name of the only begotten, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Good morning, and God bless you. I'm going to ask that you would gather your sacraments. If you don't have a sacrament and would like to partake in communion, feel free to lift your hand. Our ushers are there. We thank God for this another Lord's Sunday morning and this unique opportunity we have to come together in Christian fellowship, gathered around the Lord's table, for the unique purpose of just remembering his great sacrifice for us. So if you have your sacraments, I'm going to ask you to pull back the top and expose the wafer. If you have the wafer in your hand, I'm just going to ask you to lift it up with me. The Bible tells us that on the night Jesus was betrayed, that he took the bread of the Passover meal, and that he blessed it, and that he broke it. And after offering up a prayer to his Father, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And I say the same to you as well. Now to the wine or to the grape juice. Again, on that same night, he took the cup of thanksgiving. And he told his disciples, "This now serves as the new agreement between you and God. After tonight, after the sacrifice that I shall give, nothing will stand between you and God. The word of God says, come boldly to the throne of grace, you might find the help you need from God our Father." So he offered up his blood as the remission for our sins. He told his disciples, "Drink ye all of it, and I say the same to you." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your unimaginable sacrifice, the offering of your own broken body and your precious shed blood. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So thank you for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. It's by your shed blood that our sins have been forgiven and our sins have been washed away, and we can now come boldly into the presence of God, our Father. And so we thank you this Lord's Sunday morning and every Sunday morning for what you have done, for what you are doing, for what you shall do in the days yet ahead. So bless us today as we gather around your word. Open our eyes that we might glean insights out of the word of God, whereby we can live in a manner that is holy and pleasing unto you. This is our request. We ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake alone. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Thank God for your participation in the communion. Thank God for the unity of the faith, seeing all of you out again on this Sunday morning. As we start the month of September, we thank God for you all being here. Thank you to those that are joining us online as well. We appreciate your participation and fellowship with us. This morning, I am going to invite you to turn with me to the book, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 6th chapter. We have 2 more stories to go in chapter 6. This is the feeding of the 5,000. recorded in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6, beginning at verse 32. I am going to invite you to turn there with me. Amen. And while you're getting the Word of God, if you do need a Bible, if you don't have one, our ushers are here. But feel free to turn in your Bible if you have your iPhone or some other means of accessing the Word of God. I'm going to ask that you take it now. And again, we're going to be in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6. Our primary text will be 32 to 44. And we'll add to the witness out of the 10th chapter in that same Gospel, verse 45. Amen. Before we turn our attention to the Word of God, I do want to let you know, we stood on last Sunday, we shared with you that our Jason Carrington, who is the brother of our sister Leah Davis, was shot on last Sunday. But we're grateful to report this Monday that he has had successful surgery. Amen. We thank God for that. Amen. We thank God for that. And while he is not out of the hospital, he does appear to at least be out of danger. Amen. He still has a road of recovery before him. But we thank God for sparing his life. Amen. We thank God for sparing his life. Far too many of our young people are losing their life to gun violence. But we thank God for his mercy. Also, I want to share with you, during this past week, our sister Darlene Presley was also rushed to the hospital as she was her heart was in distress. But we want to thank God. I had an opportunity to speak with her and Brother Muhammad yesterday, and she is now back home resting and recovering. Amen. And so again, we thank God for his mercy, and we thank God for his healing power. Special shout out to all of you that are joining us consistently on Wednesday night on our prayer and Bible study line. Thank you for the intercessors who are praying as these prayer requests are coming in to the church and to the website and over our church phone and even coming through many of you. Wednesday night is the time that we gather and we pray over those names, those families, those conditions. And what a joy it is to see God answer our prayers. Amen. God is still in the prayer answering business. And so we thank God for his goodness. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you. And before we turn our attention to the Word of God, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Mark, the 6th chapter. Verse 32, very familiar passage. This particular story, the feeding of the 5,000, is recorded in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it underlines its significance in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And as such, I believe it warrants our attention on this Sunday morning. Amen? I'm going to invite you to follow along with me. And said, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him, referring to Jesus, and therefore ran on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. Now, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved by compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Verse 37, but Jesus answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." So they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? They were, in other words, they were saying, we don't have enough money to feed a crowd this large. But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. Amen. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. And now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen. Come on, let's add to the witness out of the 10th chapter in verse 45. Staying in the Gospel of St. Mark, just flip over a couple pages. Chapter 10, verse 45. And here's the sermon right here. Okay, this is the sermon. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let the church say, amen. Our Father and our God, consecrate your word now to our hearts and cause us to be bettered by the things we hear, read, and perceive. This is our prayer. We ask it now in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. So I want to title this message, if you will, Dinner in the Desert. Or another way of looking at it, Dinner in a Deserted Place. Okay? Dinner in the Desert. Dinner in a Deserted Place. Now, when we think about dinner and eating at home and going out to eat, we think maybe sometimes of making dinner reservations. We make dinner reservations so that we can reserve our table and our place at a specific time at a specific restaurant to ensure our enjoyment. So we just don't show up and expect to get seated. We don't show up and hope to get seated. We go the extra mile, and ahead of time we call, we say, I would like to make a reservation for whatever your party size is, you and your companion, guest friends, whatever. Hold this table for us at this time so that we can come and be ensured that we will be able to enjoy ourselves. Amen. Nothing worse than being hungry and going out to eat and coming to the line there and they be like, oh yeah, the wait's 2 hours. In 2 hours, I done ate my hand off. In 2 hours, you know, when you're hungry and you go out, you want to be able to eat. And so to avoid that, right, and ensure you have a good time, you're able to eat, you go ahead and you make a reservation, right? Am I talking to anybody this time? Now, just a reminder, it may be a little late, but on Communion Sundays, as believers, we are to fast on Communion Sunday, okay? So I'm not going to ask you to identify whether you're fasting or not. I'm going to take it by the look on your face. You are fasting because y'all look hungry. Y'all look like y'all going to eat me if I don't hurry. Good Lord, help me.
So look, let's turn to, I wanted to use that backdrop, that dinner reservation, because what the point, and I gave you the sermon, 10:45 is the sermon in a nutshell. When we have dinner reservations, the reality is we go expecting to what? To be served. Okay? And I'm just trying to tell you that when Jesus makes a dinner reservation, it is not so that he or you or I can be served. It is really an opportunity for ministry so that we can partnership with Christ and what? Be of service. Right? There's the whole sermon. If I sit down and I say, okay, the pastor got it. That's it. That's the Son of Man has come not to be served, but what? Rather to serve. And not just serve in a minuscule fashion, but Mark tells us he came to give his life as a ransom for many. And I don't know about you. I am glad about it. Here we go. Let's jump into this text. Picking up from verse 30, just to add this, we had this on last Sunday. The apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things that they had accomplished, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not have time even to eat. Okay? That leads right into our primary text that we're talking about, the feeding of the 5,000. So the disciples come back from their missionary trips where Jesus has sent them out to the various towns and villages and have instructed them not to take anything. Don't take any money. Don't take any extra clothes, but just go and preach the gospel. And wherever you find a receptive town or a receptive city, or receptive neighborhood, he said, stay there and preach the gospel. Okay? And so now they're coming back and they're reporting in to Jesus all of the success they have encountered. They're reporting to Jesus some of the challenges they may have faced. And Jesus now says, guys, you have done a great job. Let's go and have dinner, and I'm going to make a reservation for us. Okay, that's what he's saying. He says, now look, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. He said, let's step out of the limelight. Let's go to a deserted place where no one's coming up, where we can avoid the crowds and not be bothered. And let's have something to eat and just have some quiet time, some downtime. Okay. And so they make their way. They get into a boat. Jesus says, I know a place. Deserted. It's off the main line. No one's talking about it. Let's go there and let's just spend some time together. Have something to eat, fellowship, and just rest a while. All right. And so now we pick up verse 32. Here we are. And so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Okay. The purpose or the intention was to go and eat alone. Okay. They've been with the crowd all this time. Now they're going to separate. So they go. And it says, but the multitude saw them departing, and many, knowing him, meaning they recognized who Jesus was, okay? And they ran there on foot from all the surrounding cities, and they arrived before them and came together to him. So everyone looked at the direction the boat was heading. They figured out where it was pointing and where it was going to. And so they ran ahead of the boat and met and began to gather on the shore before Jesus arrived. Okay? He said, hey, he's gotten in the boat. Well, which direction is he going? Which way are they heading into the Sea of Galilee? Once they found out that he was heading north, the people began to assemble and wait for him on the shore that the boat was coming to. Okay? Now remember, I just told you he just made dinner reservations, not to hang out with the crowd, not to preach, he wanted to have time alone with his disciples for rest and fellowship. But now, instead of finding rest and fellowship in a deserted place, he now comes to the shore and finds thousands of people waiting for him. Okay? Look at somebody and say, no rest tonight. You ain't going to get no rest. Not with 1,000-something people waiting for you to come on shore. Verse 34. Okay. You got to read this. Everyone look in your own Bible. This is important. This is the turning point in the whole sermon. Okay, here it is. And Jesus, when he came out, meaning he came out of the boat, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them. Okay, came out of the boat. Sees the big crowd assembled. Watch this. And instead of getting upset, are you with me? He's already made dinner reservations. And he has specifically chosen a place and a restaurant that is off the main line. Okay? He's not eating downtown. He's not in Old City. He's not out in King of Prussia. He's not out in Mania. He's not in the places where people go to be seen. Right? He has made a conscious decision to go to a place that is deserted and isolated so that he can have private time with his disciples, only to get there and have the paparazzi waiting for him. Are you with me? You gotta feel this a little bit so you can appreciate the miracle that he performs, right? So he's looking not only for rest for his disciples, rest for himself, only to come out and find yet another awaiting crowd. The text says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Okay? That's what puts this whole thing in. Now, he had every right to say, everybody got to make an announcement. I'm off the clock tonight. Okay, I'll see you next Sabbath. Meet me at church next Sunday. Okay, I got a private dinner reservation here. Okay, let's do this again next week. Let's do this again at another time. But he was moved with compassion. Are you with me this Sunday? This comes to us from the writer of Lamentations. Lamentations 3:22 says this. You should know this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Right? Look at somebody and say, thank God for his compassion. Thank God for his compassions. Why? Because they fail not. Even though we may fail, even though we may falter, even though we may fail at times, the compassion of God fails not. And I'm a witness, I'm glad about it. Not only do they not fail, the writer tells us that they are new every morning. Thank God for his faithfulness. Can I get a witness this Sunday? Is anyone here grateful for God's faithfulness? Grateful for his compassion? Because it is only by the compassions of God that we are not consumed. Imagine if God paid us for everything we did wrong. Imagine if God had a day of reckoning, a day of settling up the account, settling up the record. He said, okay, let me give you what you've done good and also pay you for what you've done bad. How many of you recognize that many of us, if not all of us, would carry a negative balance? But thank God for his compassions. Why? They fail not. Here we go, verse 35. So when the day was now far spent, Jesus moved with compassion. Instead of announcing that he was off the clock, the Bible says Jesus gets down to business. He immediately begins to teach them, the Bible says, many things, right? He begins to explain who he is. Began to explain his purpose for coming into this world. He began to explain the Old Testament prophets. He began to explain the Old Testament law. He began to explain the Psalms and the Proverbs to this awaiting crowd who was like a sheep without a shepherd. And then as Jesus is preaching and as Jesus is teaching, the disciples notice that now the day has far spent. That when they left, the sun was coming up. But now that they take note of where they are in the day, they notice that the sun is on the way down. Mark records for us, the day is now far spent. And his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send these people away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy for themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Okay? When Jesus looked at the crowd, the Bible said he had compassion on them, and he viewed them as being sheep without a shepherd. Okay? Now, when the boys come along, they look at the same crowd, and they also take a look at their watch, and when they make an assessment of the situation, this is what they say. They say, one, this is a deserted place. Okay? They point out to Jesus, as if he didn't already know, that there is nothing here and nothing to work with. Deserted place, nothing here. Right? There's nothing here. Then they say the hour is late. Okay? If I were to translate that into our modern vernacular, it meant it's time to go home. Okay? Watch this. Somebody help me preach this. We've been in church long enough. Good God. I should have got more amens than that. Y'all know you have said more than a few times, we have been in church long enough. Okay, let's pray and be out. They say it's a deserted place. There's nothing here. There's nothing to work with. It is time to go home. And they tell Jesus, send the people away. Get this. This is the response of people with no compassion. Okay? Write it down. Scribble it on your hand. Do some kind of way. Take this note. This is an important note. This is the response of persons or people with no compassion. Jesus comes out. He's moved by compassion and immediately begins to engage with the people. The disciples come out, they hang out for a little while, but then they begin to look at the situation and say, look, Jesus, we're in a deserted place, meaning there's nothing out here for us to work with. The hour is late, we're actually tired and ready to go home. We didn't get to eat, we didn't get to have private time with you, we got no appetizers, no coconut shrimp. No calamari, right? None, we got all that stuff. We knew this place. We thought we could get some of the very foods we like, but we've got nothing to eat. The time is late. So now send the people away. Right? This is the response of people with no compassion. People without compassion, watch this, allow people to fend for themselves. Make it the best way you can. Okay? I can't help you. I don't have nothing to help you with. I'm unable to help you. Why? Because I'm out of time. I got my own stuff to take care of. And so the only thing that I can offer you is to go from this place and to fend for yourselves. Thank God for his unfailing compassion. Do you see the difference? Here it is. Get this, and you got the whole sermon. The disciples took what Jesus had provided to them, this dinner reservations, and falsely assumed that they were going somewhere where they would be served, never realizing that when you partner with Christ, any reservation that God makes is not for you to be served, but rather an opportunity for you to be of service. Am I preaching to anybody? Here it is. Here it is. Let's keep going. Far spent, deserted place out. Send them away. Get this. For they have nothing to eat. Look at somebody and say, mind your own business. You, everybody is so keenly aware of what everybody else has or does not have. They said, Jesus, you got to send these folks away. They have nothing to eat. Now listen to this, verse 37. Here it is. These are sermon points the whole way through. Jesus answered and said to them, look what he said. He said, you give them something to eat. Watch this. Since you're minding their business, wait a minute. None of them have complained about being hungry. None of them have complained about the lack of coconut shrimp. None of them have complained about the lack of calamari. It is only the disciples who are complaining. Why? Because they wanted to have private time with Christ, when in reality Jesus wanted to use them to perform a miracle in the lives of the 5,000 men gathered by the seashore. Look at somebody and say, it's time to go to work. No time to sit and serve. No time to sit and relax. But Christ has now called us into the game. He said, suit up, get your apron on, get your pen and pad ready. It's time to serve. It's time to get your hands dirty. It's time. Watch this. Y'all better do better. I can't yell like this and y'all sit there and not do nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to serve. So they say, look, we got to wrap this up and get out. Jesus says, look, 37, you give them something to eat. So he challenges them. He challenged them to do something they perceive they cannot do. Okay? They said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Jesus says, you give them something to eat. The disciples' response, we don't have enough. We've already told you we are in a deserted place. They said, look, even if we had the money, there are no ATMs, right? There's no internet out here. We can't cash app it. We have nothing to work with. Hey, come on, get this, sir. What do you do when God calls you to do something and you have nothing to work with? I always tell folks that's a good sign. That's how you know God really called you. God never calls you in a situation where there is abundance. But any time God calls you, any time God challenges you, One of the signs that it is the voice of the Lord is that he challenges you to do something that you're not able to do. You don't have the resources within yourself. You don't have the resources available at your fingertips. And the only way to get the job done is you need God to do it. Look at somebody and say, God, do it. Now, these guys, for a large part, were Jewish guys. And I told you when Jesus got to the seashore, he began to teach. So no doubt he began to cover the law that they were familiar with. And out of that law, I'm sure he covered the story of Moses. And it was in the life of Moses that at a challenging point in his life, he said, God, I don't know how this can be done. If you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers, the 11th chapter. I want you to read this. This was in their history. So they would have or should have known this. Numbers 11, 21. Let's go into the Old Testament. The book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The 11th chapter and verse 21. Okay? This is Moses, God's man. And it says, Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Okay? The disciples, 12 guys, 5,000 men sitting on the ground. Moses, one man with 6,000 fighting, 600,000 fighting men waiting to hear from him. He said, yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Are y'all reading this? The bulk of Jesus' disciples were Jewish. So they would be familiar with the exploits of Moses. Right? So Jesus is not making up stuff. This is something they would have been familiar with. Moses encountered a challenge. 600,000 fighting men whom God now tells him, you need to feed these guys for the next 30 days. Okay? Are you with me? Moses, 600,000 men. Must provide food for 30 days. Look at somebody and say breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right? The disciples, the 12 bad boys, they've got one assignment. Feed 5,000 men one meal on one night. I wish I had my real church. My real church say, Pastor, we got it. You don't even need to preach the rest of this. All right, so here it is. I'm going to give it to you. And these guys would have been familiar with this story. Moses says, shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Moses said, to even come close to what you're asking, God, we would have to kill all of the flocks that we have. And that still wouldn't be enough to last for 30 days. He said, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together to them to provide enough? He said, somehow if all the fish of the ocean just jumped out and landed on the beach, he said that still wouldn't be enough for 600,000 fighting men. Here it is, verse 23. This is the sermon. This is sermon points all along here. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen or not. God is now challenging you. Here it is. Just like he challenged Moses. Just like he challenged the disciples. So God now challenges you and I. He already knows that we don't have enough. He already knows that we don't have the needed resources. But God is not afraid of the impossible. For is there anything too hard for our God? I wish I had a real church this Sunday. Here it is. Here it is. Get this. This is going to bless you this week. Here it is. Verse 38, Jesus says to them, how many loaves do you have? Watch this. Instead of listening to what I was teaching, you were too busy inspecting the crowd. You were too preoccupied with who had come to service down by the seashore. Instead of paying attention, listening to the word and getting stronger, the only thing you can tell me about my whole message is that none of the people had anything to eat. Too worried, too preoccupied about what other people have or don't have. It doesn't matter to your God. He's going to use something you... Oh, I better quit. I better quit. Look, look. He tells the boys, how many loaves do you have? You've already reported, even though I didn't ask for it, that the people have no loaves. Okay, got it. But how many loaves do you have? If you don't get anything else out of this message, get these next three words. Are you with me? Verse 38. Go and see. Go and see. Anybody with me this Sunday? He now calls the disciples to take a personal inventory. He now draws their attention away from the crowd and what the people may or may not have. And he says, I want you now to take a personal inventory. My message to my awaiting church this Sunday, this week, take a personal inventory, because your God is going to use something you already have. You've overlooked it. You've discounted it in value. You said it wasn't important, but little is much when God is in it. Look at somebody and say, preach, Pastor Ford. He's going to use something you already have. Something downstairs in your basement. Something outside in your garage. Something out back, left out for months and months, rusted over, not good for anything, But when God gets his hands on it, here it is, here it is, here it is. Let's finish it out. Here it is. He said, go and see. So they come back. They do the personal inventory. And they say, all we have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What in the world can we do with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Wait, that's not even enough to feed us. And you know we gotta eat. That's not smart. I tried to bait you into it, but you didn't go for it. Said, no, the pastor's too hot this Sunday. If I go in, he'll get me. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 men. Jesus is trying to get them to remember that Moses was one man facing 600,000 men and required to feed them for 30 days, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Here it is. Then he commanded them, make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, some in hundreds, some in groups of 50. Here it is. Now you should get this. We just had communion. Look at somebody and say, it's communion. When he had taken the 5 loaves, when he had taken the 2 fish, the Bible said he looked up to heaven. I wish I had a real church. The problem with the boys, instead of looking up, they looked out. And when you look out too long, your problem begins to look bigger than your God. And the only way you can change your perspective is to stop looking out and begin to look up. Look up. Your redeeming drawing nigh. Look at somebody and say, look up. Look under Jesus. Look under Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look under God who created the heavens and the earth. Tell somebody, look up. He looked up. He blessed the fish. That means he prayed. Too many of us focus our attention externally by looking out at everybody else. And we then begin to compare ourselves to everybody else. But it's time to change our focus. It's time for us to look up. And it's time for us to pray unto the God of our Lord and Savior. It is time for us to look up and to pray. Now watch this. You're with me on Wednesday night, Bible study. We're walking through James. James says it like this, that every good and perfect gift. I wish I had my Bible study team here tonight. They helped me. He says this, cometh down from above. Look at this. It doesn't come from the outside. It doesn't come from what other people have. But all the good and perfect gifts coming down from above. Watch this. From the Father of lights. I wish I had a real church this Sunday. When you look out and you begin to peruse what other people may or may not have, it causes you to see your situation as one with no light, hope, and one filled with darkness. Am I talking to anybody in the church this Sunday? Have you ever encountered a life situation that left you in the dark? But my message this Sunday, if you just look up to the Father of lights, He has good gifts. He has good things. He has a blessing for you. God has a blessing and has got your name on it. God has a blessing for you, for your house, for your family. Somebody shout yes. He looked up, he blessed the bread, and then he broke the bread. I wish I had a real church. For this miracle, God's going to take what you have. I'm waiting for you to fill in the blank. I done walked you down the circle. I done walked you down there. This miracle was not an external miracle. This miracle cost the boys the only stuff they had. They didn't have any, and if you read this out in John, it wasn't even their fish. It was somebody else's fish and loaves that they took and said, the Lord will bless you. Don't worry about it. Just give it to us. We work for Jesus. Don't worry about it. Tell your mama the Lord is going to bless you and your lunchbox today. But this miracle, hear me, church, is going to cost you something. Gone are the days where we are spiritual cheerleaders to what God can do. Jesus is trying to prepare these guys. They don't realize it yet, but he's getting ready to leave this place. He said, that's why I'm sending you out on missionary trips without me, so that you can learn to preach without me, so that you can learn to teach without me, so that you can learn to heal without me. Why? Because in not many days hence, you will be without me. So I've got to get you prepared so that you can continue my message and my ministry without me. And in order to do that, you're going to have to be willing to sacrifice what little you do have. God's going to take what you have. We already agree it's not a whole lot. And before he does anything with it, he's going to break it on purpose. I just gave what you asked me to give. And now you take it and break it. How does that make any sense? But until, get this, this is the sermon, the bread not only does it represent his body, watch this, it represents your body. The bread not only represents the life of Christ, it also represents your life. And until you have been broken. I wish I had a real church. And it's okay, because nobody likes to talk about being broken. We all like Humpty Dumpty. Why? Because we know he gets what? Put back together again. But no one likes to talk about being broken. But this next level of miracle is going to require that God break you. Break old habits. Break old ways. Break old friendships. Break old memories. God is going to break you. But it's all right. It's all right. God can do more with the broken pieces. God can do more with the broken. It wasn't until he broke the bread that the miracle began to be performed. And it won't happen in your life until you agree to be broken. Because once he breaks you, here it is. Touch three people, tell them this. Now the miracle can start. Just tell them, now the miracle can start. Now the praise party can begin, because now that you've been broken, now that your power, now that your wisdom, now everything that you know how to do has failed, now God can go to work. Look at somebody and say, now let the real party start. Come on, help me pray. Now let the real party start. There's now bread enough, not only for my house, but your house, your house, your house, your house, because we did not resist being broken under the hand of God. And now the miracle can start. Somebody shout yes. Somebody give him a praise. Let the miracle power of God fall in this house. Yes. Yes. Out of the ashes, out of the broken pieces, out of my broken places, God shall perform a miracle. God shall perform a miracle in my life. Somebody shout yes! They break the bread, break the fish. Get this. Jesus gives it to the disciples. This miracle is not only going to cost you something you possess. This miracle, it's going to involve your participation. You're not only going to have to supply the bread. He's calling you to serve the bread. Even before you eat. How many of you realize by now that in ministry we eat last? Have you realized that yet? And if you haven't, that's okay. Keep walking. You'll figure it out. In ministry, those that are called to serve along with Jesus we eat last. Peaches. They had a dinner reservation. They thought they were going to a new place off the charts. No one knew about it. Private time with Jesus. They were going to be served the best seafood out of the Sea of Galilee. Right? Appetizers, full entree, dessert. And instead, they find themselves giving up what little they do have. And instead of being served, they now find themselves serving. Here it is. But guess who else is not eating? They weren't the only ones. This thing is recorded in four different places in the New Testament. And none of them record Jesus eating. Jesus said this. He said, my meat you know not of. And the reason why God wants to break us is so that we can learn to depend on the spiritual meat of the Word of God. So that we don't need external resources to do what God has called us to do. He says, number one, stop looking for other people to support you. I didn't ask them to. Now he said, this is the difference. When I sent you on the ministry, on the missionary trip, I told you people would support you. That's why I told you don't take anything. No bag, no money, no tunics. And whoever's house would open, he said, go there. Stay there. He said, I'm going to touch people and they're going to give to you. But this next miracle, now that you've had all your success in ministry, now I'm going to show you the real deal, right? Now I'm going to pull back the curtain on the wizard and let you see what it really cost to be a minister for Christ. It's going to cost you something you already have. And that little bit that you have, he's not going to ask for a part of it. Watch this. He's not going to ask for a tithe of it. He's going to ask for the whole thing. And once you get over the whatever it is you feel about giving it up, he's going to make matters worse because he's going to break it right in your face. Oh, my God. I halfway didn't want to give it to you. Now that I give it, you break. But understand something. The miracle only begins when what you give has been broken. As long as it remained five loaves, that's all it would ever be is five loaves. But the minute Christ broke it, my goodness, I wish I had a piece of bread. He broke it. Give it to them to put in the basket. He breaks another piece. Give it to them. Put it in the basket. Now, after the fifth piece has been broken, one of the guys has got to say, wait a minute. He gave you broken loaves. You, three, that's three, gave you some broken loaves. But yet when they go back, he's still what? Breaking. The miracle was happening as they participated in the ministry with Jesus Christ. They weren't afforded the privilege of being spectators or sideline cheerleaders. But as they participated by faith, because after the fifth loaf, there's no more loaves. Anything that he's breaking now, look at somebody and say, it's a miracle. But every time they came back, he kept what? Breaking. They come back again and he kept breaking the loaf, kept breaking the fish, kept breaking the bread. And that's the message to you, that every time you come back to God, he's going to keep on breaking the loaf. So when you spend all that you have, just come back to Jesus. He's still breaking bread. He's still breaking fish. The Old Testament Israelites called him El Shaddai. And that means he is the God of more than enough. Will you try him today? I know we all want more than enough, but are we willing to pay the price for more than enough? To have more than enough, it's going to cost you something. To have more than enough, you're going to have to do a personal inventory. Stop worrying about what the church has. Stop worrying about what your neighbors have. Stop worrying about the reunion this weekend and worrying about what your cousin and them are going to drive up in. That's not going to make the difference. Not for where God is getting ready to take you. What God has in store for you, these good gifts, these perfect gifts that come down. Now, we'll look at the story and say, oh my God, the people got blessed, and they did. But the disciples were blessed more. When the people left, they ate and were filled. And there were no doggy bags. But when it was all over, read the text. The Bible said the disciples took up 12 basketfuls. 12 tribes of Israel. 12 disciples of Jesus. You got to see the theology in this. God is trying to show himself to these guys. And when the miracle was over, watch this. They had more at the end of it than they did in the beginning. Anytime God makes a reservation for you, it is not for you and I to expect to be served, but rather an invitation to be of service. I'm just here to tell you, if you do it, he'll bless you more than you ever know. Shall we all stand? Dinner in a deserted place. Deserted. Isolated. Empty. Anytime you look at or approach a deserted place, you have little if no expectation. Ain't nothing going on here. There's nothing here. There's nobody here. There's nothing to work with. Nothing good can come out of this deserted place. But I hope this morning, as a result of walking through the Word of God and showing you step by step how God can take you from being in a deserted place, an isolated place. Look, when the people came, they still said it was deserted. How many know you can be in a crowd and still be lonely? You can be around a whole lot of people and still feel by yourself. I wish I had a real church. But this Sunday, and I know many of you may already have plans for tomorrow, for the Labor Day holiday. Some of you are going here, and some of you are going there, and some of you are going to your cousins. They have a pool. Some of you are going down to the shore, and you got all these places that you're going. Take time out to pray, because I believe God wants to bless you in your deserted place, the place you don't talk about. That's why I tell you where I'm going tomorrow. Because I don't want you to know where I am today. That's why I talk about my cousin's house. Because I don't want you to ask me about my house. My house, I got stuff getting ready to be cut off. Because I don't have enough. I talk about what I'm going to do on the next holiday, because this holiday, my family and I can't afford to go anywhere, nor can we afford to do anything. And the more I think about it, the more upset I get, the more frustrated I get. Because it's not as if I don't love the Lord. I do love the Lord. And it's not that I don't believe that God can do it. I know He can do it, because I see Him do it for others. Pastor, what I'm struggling with is that I need Him to do it for me. Because I'm in a deserted place. I'm in this situation by myself. I have a companion, but I might as well be single, because they're no help. I have kids, but I might as well be childless, because they're no help. I have a church, but I might as well be churchless. Why? Because my church, they're no help. And all I'm trying to tell you is, don't get mad at them. Could it be that God has invited you on purpose to a deserted, good God, somebody help me. You're trying to run from it, and God is inviting you to it. Look at His mercy. So I want you to come this deserted place. Good God, help me. Watch this. Because I'm going to break you in private. I'm telling you, we serve a good God. He said, I'm not going to put you on public display for all the world to see your mess. No. If you just come aside with me, give me a weekend, give me one Saturday, give me, and just come aside with me to a deserted place. Allow me to break you. Allow me to crush the stuff in your life you don't need anyway, so that you can see all that I've given to you. You don't even realize it, but I put greatness down inside of you. You don't even see it. You keep telling everybody you don't have anything. And I keep trying to tell you, you have more than enough. Just give it back to me. put it back in my hand and let the miracle begin. I'll just keep breaking and breaking. The more you need, the more I will supply. Just give it to me. And let me begin to reshape you in the image and likeness of the only begotten of God. Today the Lord wants to do a miracle in your life, in your life. He wants to do a miracle in your life, in your life. He wants to do a miracle in the life of your family, in your family. Will you let the miracle begin? Will you let God do it? With every head bowed, Father in heaven, we come unto you because thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Where shall we go and to whom shall we turn? Only you can break us. Pick up the broken pieces of our lives. And put us back together again. Calls us to be better than what we were before. And so today by faith, we offer unto you our broken pieces, our broken places, our heartaches, our heartbreaks, our faults and our failures. We give you the broken pieces of our lives. Today by faith, we ask you to let the miracle begin. Somehow, some way, God began to put us back together. Prove to us once again that your name is El Shaddai, that you are more than enough. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Your word is true. And we believe that you will bring it to pass. And so we praise you now with uplifted hands and uplifted voices. Lord, we give you the praise. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing even right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you shall bring to pass. Thank you, Lord, for putting me back together again. Thank you, Lord. If you believe God can do it, if you believe God can meet you in a deserted place, and put back the broken pieces of your life. Come on, I invite everybody, everywhere. Let's give the Lord our God the best praise we can. Come on, give him a real praise. Come on, Taylor. Give him a real praise. Bless his name. Bless his name. He's El Shaddai. Bless me in my deserted place. Bless me and my broken pieces. Woo! He'll do it. 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 Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Touch three people and say, let the miracle begin. Come on, let the miracle begin. Come on, boys. Come on, Jordan, Josh. Come on, ramp it up. It's time for the miracle to begin. It's time. He's ready. Are you ready to let the miracle begin. Let the power of God, come on, Josh, somebody play something fast. Something, get it going, get it going. God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless you right now. It's not until you give up the broken pieces. It's not until you give up the broken places that the miracle can begin. But now, God says, let the miracle begin. God says, let it begin right now. The miracle begins today. The miracle begins right now. Here it is, here it is. But you got to do it by faith. You got to do it by faith. Give him the broken pieces of your life. And by faith, wait for the miracle to begin. God bless you, Taylor. Thank you for being a faithful audience. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. I believe this message was for somebody. Receive it in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen, 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 amen. Good word, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to call up Sister Logan, but before I do that, if you are seeking church membership, if you are seeking prayer, if you want to know more about salvation, if you want to understand how to look up instead of looking out, reach out to us. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can touch base with me at the end of the service. If you're looking online, you can go to our website. Reach out to us. Contact us. Call us on the church number, all right? And we will reach out to you and help you on this journey. Amen? Amen. I'm going to call up Sister Logan Lyons because it is offering time. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by giving using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. 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 We are now going to have our announcements. I'm going to call up Cassandra to give us our announcements. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family. Pastor and our leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. When you decide to join us in person worship, please make sure you take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay at home. We are excited to share that next Sunday, September 11th at 10 a.m., we'll be celebrating the pastor's 13th anniversary. Our guest preacher will be Dr. Herbert Brown III, who is the founder of the Black Church Food Security Network and former senior pastor of Point Pleasant Baptist Church in Baltimore, Maryland. Immediately following the service, we will serve lunch in our upstairs fellowship hall, which we will feature a menu incorporated from the fruits and vegetables grown in our own church garden. Also, prayer and Bible study will be Wednesday night at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Those are your announcements. Thank you.
Amen. With that, we'll call up our pastor to give us our benediction. Amen. Can we all stand?
God bless you. Shall we all stand? Thanks once again for being a tremendous audience, for being patiently waiting and receiving the word of God. Hey, on next Sunday, the anniversary is coming. For those needing transportation, we will have the church van up and operational. For all of us that are members, we're going to utilize the parking garage around the street on Pine Street, Bible Union, so that we can give as much available street space to our guests. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to come because this guy is a tremendous, tremendous, not just preacher, but a visionary. And I've asked him to come and share with you the broader vision of what he's doing with this Black Church Food Security Network. It is unbelievable. And instead of me trying to say it or describe it, so I'm going to bring in the founder himself. So you're going to want to come. You're going to be blessed. I feel so much today like John the Baptist. I'm the forerunner of the real preacher that's coming next Sunday. But you're going to be blessed by him. Then we're going to have a chance to eat food that we've actually grown with our own hands. How about that? Our own hands, reminiscent of our forefathers. So come. It's going to be a great time of fellowship. Invite your family and friends. We're going to have a great and wonderful time. Amen. Lift your hands unto the Lord and say amen, amen, amen again. Go in peace. God bless you.